Well, God bless you. Today's July the 12th, 2020. If you would take your Bibles, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. There is no one who goes through life without challenges, obstacles, difficulties. Some people more than others, and some challenges are harder than others, but regardless of any difficult or unpleasant thing we may face in our lives, it is still God's will that our lives are blessed. And so we can, with confidence and with patience, look to our God and Father for His help, His guidance, His solutions, and His deliverance. And if not, well, then you have to ask yourself, why is prayer mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible? And why are there verses like in Isaiah 50 where God said, "Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver?" And here in Isaiah 59:1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." God's hand's not shortened. If you look at back up just a bit to Isaiah 55, familiar verse. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, it says, God is speaking, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth," how high are they? Pretty high. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's thoughts and God's ways are so far beyond what we can even think, which means God has solutions. And no matter what we're faced with, we can choose to believe to see the power of God in our lives. And that's what I'd like to look at this morning. Now, how do we do that? It all comes down to words. Words. What words we choose to believe. You know, Jesus talked, when he was talking about believing, talked about not having doubt. And he said, "Fear not, only believe." Remember, he told that one man, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." Worry and doubt interfere with believing God's words. And just so we're clear, our thoughts, the things we think, are words, right? Thoughts of worry and doubt are words in our heads. Now, we could talk this morning about so much insanity going on in our country. Gee, why is there so much? Why is everybody going crazy? And recently I taught on the spiritual battle. And we are seeing the results of words believed. How can people support a political group whose founders claim to be trained Marxists and has its goal to completely transform our culture and country? How in the world, why do people support that? Words. Words believed. We could also talk this morning about the pandemic. So much information, and then sometimes conflicting information out there. Do we carry thoughts of worry and doubt? What words do we believe? We can choose to believe God's words, that He wishes above all things that we prosper and be in health, and very important, that God is at work in you to will and do of His good pleasure, and that He can and will direct our steps. So, what words do we believe? And so while those two big issues continue in our country, this morning, let's consider how to believe to see the power of God in our own personal lives. What you might be dealing with personally right now, or sometime in the future. It too comes down to words we believe. In the Bible, not only are there many promises from God concerning His help, His deliverance, His power, but isn't it wonderful that God has also given us real life examples of real people who saw the power of God in their own personal lives? We're going to look at three records this morning. I'm sure you're familiar with them. Turn to Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1 is the record of Gabriel, the angel, bringing a message to Mary. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. They weren't married yet. Espoused. Of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Quite a greeting, huh? And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, his words. What? And cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She's like, what are you saying to me? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She was espoused to Joseph, but their time of coming together hadn't happened yet. And she's like, wait a second, I'm just going to get pregnant? What? How? Verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And guess what, Mary? Behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she's also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Oh my goodness. Isn't that something? You know, just a little sidebar here. My prayer when I teach is that it is helpful, it is practical, and that people hear what they need to hear. And, you know, that should be our attitude when we read God's Word, and then when we listen to teachings of God's Word. God, show me what I need to hear. Enlighten me. Boy, that's a great verse. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Be it unto me according to thy word. Pretty simple, not complicated. She just said, okay, I believe it. Be it unto me according to thy word. Words. Words persuade us. Words convince us. We believe words. Mary chose to believe those words. And her response shows it. Be it unto me according to thy word. She believed to see the power of God. She believed this specific promise to her, as far-fetched as it may have sounded. When you think about it, right? But she believed it. And as a result, she saw the power of God quite dramatically in her life, in her body. And later, Elizabeth, her cousin, when she went to see her, in verse 45, Elizabeth said, Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. she believed. How profitable is it to us when we believe God's words? Look at Acts 27, another record I'm sure you're familiar with. We're not going to read the whole record in Acts 27. You can read it sometime. But Paul is on his way to Rome. He's a prisoner. And they're trying to get there before the weather changes. And in Acts 27, verse 10, they went partway there, not very far. And verse 9 tells us much time was spent. Sailing's dangerous because the fast was over. It's the time of year it was. And in verse 10, Paul admonishing them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter, the more part advised to depart thence, if by any means they might attain Phoenicia and there to winter," which is a haven of Crete, and it lies toward the southwest and northwest. So the point is that they didn't heed Paul's words, but somebody else's words. See, it's words that convince us, words that persuade us, words that we hear. And it was not exactly the right decision. In verse 13, "When the south wind blew softly, appearing, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon." That just sounds bad, doesn't it? Euroclydon. The word tempestuous, by the way, we get our English word typhoon from there. Euroclydon literally means a violent wind. This is a typhoon. This is a hurricane. This is bad news. So we'll skip over part of this and let's go to verse 20. They're in the midst of this typhoon, verse 20, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Do you get that? Hopeless. It was hopeless. Have you ever felt hopeless? Well, my situation, you know, I mean, nothing's ever going to change for me. I mean, it's hopeless. Why should we ever get to that point? Is the Lord's arm waxed short? Has he lost his power? Does God no longer care about you? What thoughts, words are in our mind? Verse 20 again. "When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." It's a hopeless situation. What is this man saying? "Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near some country." Oh my goodness. 14 days of enduring this? Are you kidding me? Isn't there a verse in Psalm that says, wait patiently for the Lord? How do you wait patiently through all of this? Why did this storm last so long? Why didn't they get delivered sooner? Why did the ship have to wreck? Why? Verse 23. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, you must be brought before Caesar. God has given all them that sail with you." Verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe the words. And again, simple, not complicated. Words. Words persuade us. Words convince us. We believe words. Now, he believed a specific promise to him. Words from God by way of an angel in that hopeless situation. And as a result of believing those words, he saw the power of God quite dramatically, wouldn't you say? Everyone made it safely to shore. Fear not, only believe. He believed and he saw the power of God. You know, it's real profitable for us to read portions of God's word like this, where people got delivered. And as we read those records, ask God to teach us and show us what we need to know to receive his deliverance. You know, it says in Timothy, consider what I say and the Lord give you understanding. In Ephesians, when Paul was sharing about the mystery, he said, whereby when you read, you may understand. Remember that verse? Wouldn't that be true when we read other portions of God's word too? You know, like when we read about people who receive deliverance, could God give us understanding concerning deliverance? See, when we read the Bible, you know what we're reading? Words. Words. They're God's words, the words of God. Can we not pray and ask when we read, God, give me understanding of these words? And when we read his promises to us, you know what those are? Words. And we can choose the attitude of, okay, be it unto me according to thy word. And I believe that it shall be even as it was told me in the scriptures. If you are struggling with something, anything, I'd recommend that you listen to the teaching I did April 26th. It's on the blog. It's under the tab Recent Teachings. It's titled, He Is. And I taught on God is able and willing. You know, Romans 10:17 says faith or believing, the right way of believing, comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Words. What thoughts are we thinking concerning what we are dealing with personally? That's a great question. What thoughts are we thinking concerning what we are dealing with personally? And why is that an important question? Because words persuade us. Words convince us. It's words that we believe. Believing comes by hearing the words of God. When it comes to situations we face, never ever underestimate the power of God. Is the Lord's arm waxed short? Is his power limited? Will he not hear? Will he not bear his arm for you? So we looked at Mary, a specific promise to her. She believed, she received. The power of the highest did indeed overshadow her. We saw Paul, there was no hope left. Totally hopeless. They were going to die. We saw him believe the words the angel spoke to him, words from God. The delivering power of God saved every person on that ship. But what if you don't have a specific promise? Then what? Well, go to Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel chapter 3, we find out that King Nebuchadnezzar made this big old golden statue. And then the proclamation was, when the music's played, everybody hit the deck. Everybody bow down. And if you refused, you were to be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. Wow, great place to live in those days, right? And we're going to take a look at these three men who were originally taken captive from Judah. And then because of their trusting and believing God, they excelled to the point of having high government positions. And now They refused to bow. And they got arrested, got ratted out. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? This can't be true. Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now look, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, all those instruments, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, that's a good thing. But if you worship not, you will be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Ooh, ooh, ooh. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, if that's your plans, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." Wow, that's quite a statement, isn't it? He said, our God is able. How? How is God able to deliver you out of a burning fiery furnace? You know how? He's God Almighty, that's how. Remember we read it? God said, my ways are not your ways. Isn't that something? I mean, from a human point of view, how can this happen? He's God Almighty. My ways are not your ways. If your problem is bigger than your God, then you need a bigger God. The creator of the heavens and the earth is able. I think sometimes we just get too hung up on the how. The how is not our job. We believe him, and he provides and walks us through the how. Verse 17 again. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, well, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. We ain't bowing. Now, this is a little different. They did not say, an angel appeared unto us and said, fear not, you shall not be burned in the fiery furnace. Doesn't say that. It doesn't appear that they had any specific revelation from God. And as far as I know, there's no specific promise in the scriptures about getting delivered out of burning fiery furnaces. So, what exactly did they believe? They believed God is able to deliver us, period. So the question we must honestly answer is, do we believe? Whatever we're dealing with, do we believe that God is able to deliver, period? End of story. No doubts, no worries, all in. They simply believed to see the power of God. Our God is able and he will deliver us, period. And if he doesn't, fine, we still ain't going to bow. So, you know how it goes. Verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar was not happy, full of fury. The form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace was exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said, Oh, yes, that's true, king. Yes, yes, we did that. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. Probably didn't get too close, right? And said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come on out. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Look at this verse, 27. And the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. How does this happen? How can you be thrown into a hot burning fire? You're not even singed. You don't even smell like smoke. How does this happen? Verse 27 tells you. It says, the fire had no power. Fire has a lot of power, doesn't it? Yeah, the bigger the fire, the more power. We've had some bad fires here in Arizona. Two big ones, very bad. Fire has a lot of power. But the power of fire is no match for the power of God. The power, anything the adversary throws at you, is no match for the power of God. And so we're back to words again. What words, what thoughts are we thinking? We can choose to believe, to see the power of God. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I always chuckle when I read this because of what he said before. Who is that God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? But, oh, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel. That was the fourth guy walking in there. And delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore, I'm going to make a decree. I got a proclamation for everybody here. Every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Because, look at this, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And then they got promoted in verse 30. From the mouth of a pagan, idol-worshipping king, there is no other God that can deliver like this. Is what he just said true?
Yep.
Absolutely. Then how could we, children of the Most High God, ever feel hopeless? The power, anything the adversary throws at us, is no match for the power of God. We can choose to believe, to see the power of God. Now, you know what? If these three examples were the only examples of his power in the Word, they would be enough, wouldn't they? But the Old Testament is full of words telling us and showing us God's great power in so many situations. In the Gospels, it's full of words showing us Jesus Christ operating the power of God over and over. In the book of Acts, that book is full of words showing us God's power in action. And the church epistles, we read words of declarations and promises of God's great power. In the church epistles, we're told that the gospel is the power of God. We're reminded that God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. We're reminded that God is able to make all grace abound toward us, that we always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We're reminded that the exceeding greatness of his power is to usward who believe. We read about God being at work within us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We read about being delivered from the power of darkness. We're told that each one of us has the power of the Holy Spirit within us, God in Christ in you. And it's not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We're told that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And so many more. Words. They're all just words. Words that we can either believe or not believe. Then, of course, you get to the book of Revelation and, you know, the power of God is exhibited on such a grand scale that's beyond our brains, you know. We get gathered together, meet Christ in the air with new bodies, you know, resurrection of the just and unjust, new heavens, new earth. Whew! The Bible is full of words, all there for us to read, and we can choose to let His words, God's words, persuade us, convince us, and as a result, we can believe to see the power of God in our lives. And I'd like to close in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, I've mentioned before that even in the Bible, it's not always sunshine and roses, is it? But boy, there's so much in there that shows us that we're not helpless people. We're not hopeless people. We've got a God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, a God of power and might. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul wrote, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Wow. The word trouble there is mental pressure. Boy, look at that. Pressed out of measure, above strength, despaired even of life. This verse in the New Living Translation is as follows. "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it." The English translation has it this way. "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." And from Reverend Cummins' Working Translation, this verse 8. "In fact, we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning our affliction that occurred in Asia, that we were exceedingly weighed down, overpowered, so that we despaired even of living." He continues in verse 9 in the Working Translation. "Moreover, we ourselves had the sentence of death in ourselves, with the result that we could not have confidence in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He delivered us out of such a great death, and He will deliver. In Him we have set our hope that He will still deliver." Wow. Kind of sounds like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, doesn't it? Our God's able to deliver us. Period. End of story. It's noteworthy, verse 11, "You also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." Boy, praying for one another, prayers. So God has revealed many promises to us in His Word. We can read them and say, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Or God may reveal something specific just for us. And then we can say, "Well, be of good cheer. I believe that it shall be even as it was told me." And there may be other times we may not have a specific promise. We may not have revelation. In those times, always remember, our God is able, period. Whatever you may be dealing with in your life, whatever the adversary throws your way, it is no match for the power of God, because God is able and God has solutions. And because of that, we not only pray and stay persistent at prayer, but we look for his guidance, his leading, expecting to see his solutions as we just stay faithful and patient in prayer. Words persuade us. Words convince us. It's words we believe. And thoughts of worry and doubt are words. Words that will interfere with you believing God. And whether it's this pandemic, or the riots in the streets, or something you're dealing with personally, great question. What are you thinking? Your thoughts are words. Guard your thoughts. The Bible tells us that. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your thoughts and never, ever underestimate the power of God Almighty. Let's pray. Almighty God, our great, gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, we praise you for your love, for your kindness, for your grace and your mercy. And Father, I'd just like to pray for every person that's on this call this morning, as well as those who will listen to the recording. Father God, please help them. Father, bring to them the solutions they need. Guide them and direct their steps. I pray, Father, this morning for our country, to heal those who are sick, and Father, to bring an end to this plague. I pray for those that are in positions of authority, Father, that they could have the wisdom and the courage to make the right decisions. I pray, Father, for people's eyes in our country to be open. Pray, Father, for the wicked people that they get exposed and stopped. And Father, I pray for your word to reach out to people, that hearts could be open, that they could get saved, and that they could come to a knowledge of the truth. And Father, may each one of us have the courage to share your word with the love of God that you've given us. And Father, to make known our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you all for being with us. We'll be back again next Sunday, unless, of course, the Lord comes first. That would be wonderful. I will post this teaching on the blog. Have yourself a great week, and God bless you.